on stage right now, Rabbi Aaron Sullivan, Halevi.
Here's Aaron.
So this coming week is Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, as it's known. Wednesday. Chaf Ches Iyar, I believe, the 28th day of Iyar on the Jewish calendar. It's the day in 1967 where we took over Jerusalem. In 1948 we got the state of Israel. In 1967 we finally took back Yerushalayim. So are there any halachic ramifications from the fact that Jerusalem was taken back under Jewish control? Or is this, besides obviously a lot of practical ramifications, we could have a lot of yeshivas and other things and other good things happen from a pure halachic view? Did anything change? That was a major question in 1967, because as our Gemara tells us in Moed Katan, when dealing with the laws of Avelos, we know there are laws of mourning, and we have personal mourning periods when we lose our loved ones, and we have national mourning periods. Some perhaps are still in now during Sfiras HaOmer. Some who follow their other minhagim are still in the midst of it, and we have during the 3 weeks. So there are different halachas of mourning. However, within the halachas of mourning, there's halacha of kriya, of ripping one's garment when they lose a parent, a loved one, etc. So the halachas of kriya. However, the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan, not only is there halacha of kriya when you mourn the loss of a person, an individual, but this kriya as well when we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, we'll see, that minig is still around today. We'll get to when you go to the Kotel HaMaravi, whether you rip kriya or not. But the Mishnah, the Gemara in Moed Katan tells us, Haroeh Ari Yehuda, you see the cities of Yehuda, which is a discussion whether that means Shevet Yehuda, Malchus Beis Yehuda. We're not going to be spending much time on that, but that's what the Gemara says. You see Ari Yehuda b'charbano, you see Yerushalayim b'charbano, and you see the Beis HaMikdash b'charbano in ruins and destruction. You have a chi of kriya. You have to, it's a time of mourning, and you rip your garment. So let's focus on Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash for now. So the question was, in 1967, when we took back under Jewish control Yerushalayim, does that make Yerushalayim not becharbano anymore? And what's the definition of being in ruins? So that is a major discussion. What does it mean? So the two basic possibilities, you always have fine-tuning within each one, but why are we, pre-67, why would we rip kriya? If a person went to Jerusalem and it was before Israel took over, and said, why would the halacha be the one to rip kriya? So that one possibility is because Yerushalayim is the political capital of Israel, and Israel recognizes it, and most other people are coming around to it these days, but Yerushalayim is the political capital. And is that why, when Yerushalayim is in ruins, we rip kriya? Or no, it's nothing to do with political capital or Jewish people running the government there. Yerushalayim is an extension of the Makam HaMikdash. Yerushalayim is an extension of the Beis HaMikdash, and as long as the Beis HaMikdash is b'churbano, so then it's still considered b'churbano. So that's what they asked Rav Soloveitchik in 1967, because people were saying that you no longer have to rip kriya anymore because now it's in Jewish control. Regarding Yerushalayim, that's the way Rav Moshe seems to learn as well, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others, once the Jews took over Yerushalayim, the Jews are living there and the Jewish government, so it's no longer b'charbano, therefore there's no longer a need to rip kriya. Rav Soloveitchik and others felt differently, and he felt that no, that it's a connection. Yerushalayim's kedusha stems from the Makam HaMikdash, and unfortunately, we still are in a Yerushalayim is still considered to be a korbano. In fact, some of its proofs were is because Yerushalayim, there's certain things you can only eat. Let's say kachim kalam. There's certain sacrifices only to be eaten within a certain part within Yerushalayim. Once you leave, he says, where does that? The Mishnah and Kalim talk about different asara kedushas. Even within Israel, Yerushalayim is known as the highest level of kedusha, as we'll get to. So therefore, he says we see how the different halachas of kachim kalam apply. With Yerushalayim implying it's nothing to do with political capital, it has to do with the Makam HaKdusha. Or in fact, the Rebbe points out many times, it uses the word Lefnei Hashem. When we talk about Samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokechem, when we talk about being in the Beis HaMikdash, also in terms of Yerushalayim. Many times when instead of saying Yerushalayim, they use Lefnei Hashem. So the Rebbe says, based on the same terminology used, his opinion was that I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach agreed in principle, maybe for a different reason as well, but he said it's still considered b'chorbano, and therefore the Chiyuv Kriya remains even after the Jews, even after we took over, took back Yerushalayim in 67. In fact, that's also part of the discussion about Ari Yehuda as well. What's so special about the cities of Yehuda? That only rip kriya on them. So the different possibilities. Some also say because it's proximity to Yerushalayim, or others say because Yehuda, Malchus Beis Yehuda, was the Malchus, and that had to do with the political capital as well. So the same discussion on a lower level of the Ari Yehuda have to do with Yerushalayim. So there is no consensus, since there is no consensus view on whether we rip on Yerushalayim. It's a machlokus among the poskim. However, the minig seems to be, I haven't met anyone, not that it doesn't exist, I'm sure there might be some people, but the minig I'm familiar with is not to rip when you see Yerushalayim today. And that could be also, as the poskim point out, since it's a major machlokas among the Gedolei HaPoskim post-67, so we have a general halacha, halacha kedivrei hameko ba'avelis. We have a general rule. When it comes to laws of mourning, we always go with the lenient view. And therefore, since it's a machlokes, whether you do kriya or not, so we're lenient. Even though some point out that if you look at the Gemara carefully, kriya isn't included in that halacha ledivrei hameko. In other words, when we talk about being lenient, usually by kriya isn't included. So they point out here, even if you assume that way, it's different here because when they're talking about kriya is not included in the leniency, that's when you know you have an obligation to mourn, but there's only a technical issue, you know whether they should do kriya. So in that case, we're not necessarily mekel. But in this case, it's a whole shy whether there's anything to mourn over. Here is a fun, over there is definitely a chiyuv to mourn, and it's a technical issue of kriya, then we're not so lenient. But in this case, they point out, everyone would agree here because the question of mourning at all is a question. Is Yerushalayim considered b'chorbanu or not? And therefore, that's what also, I think one of the questions were on Tisha B'Av, did we say the Nachem, which talks about the destruction? But so the consensus is most, I don't know anyone who does, there could be a very small minority who do, but since it's a Shaila, so the minhag is not to rip Kriya on Yerushalayim. What about when you go see the Makam HaMikdash, you go to the Kotel HaMaravi, you see the Temple Mount, you see there's no Beis HaMikdash. So that, the consensus view is, just about everyone agrees, then you do rip Kriya. There's one sheet which isn't really accepted, that you only have to do it once in your lifetime, but that's a sheet, a single opinion, yeah.
Have you seen or do you know people who do rip Kriya?
You're looking at one.
Okay, so what did you do?
So basically what the custom is, again, within customs, most people is you come with, they did, when I was in yeshiva there, when we went to the custom, so you used to go with you put a t-shirt on top of your shirt or whatever, you go to the kotel and you rip the shirt.
Could you sew
the
t-shirt over for the next rip?
Yeah, exactly, that's a further question. Could you sew it up or use a different one? But, you know, some people might, you know, some people might use the regular clothing. I remember the minig when I was in yeshiva. That's what we used to do. But I know that's so. You know, so then they're different. If you go if you go on Yom Tov, the different, you know, some people try different ways to circumvent not having to do Kriya. This halacha is, strictly speaking, every 30 days, if you haven't been at the Kotel HaMaravi for 30 days, you have to rip Kriya again. So at least the first time you go, then for sure you should do it. And then some try to go on, you know, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and that's a question whether that would count or not. Obviously, you're not going to rip Kriya on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but that's a question whether it would actually, you have to do it afterwards. But that's the strict halacha. You know, once you're ready, you know, once you're there all the time, so there are other, you know, other coolers, I mean, we could find here or there. But strictly speaking, the halacha on the books is every 30 days, it's like, because 30 days is like a new time again. And therefore, in theory, every 30 days you have to rip Kriya on the Kotel. Why do we have to? So it's obvious why we're ripping Kriya by the Beis HaMikdash. That's clearly by Ari Yehud and Yushalayim. We could discuss if it's based on its political capital, etc. By the Beis HaMikdash, it's clear that we're ripping over Churban HaBayis. And in fact, Rav Tukachinsky, who he wrote the book on Hilchos Avelos, the Gesher HaChayim. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's a Hebrew book. I think it might be translated in English now. I'm not sure. But it's the Gesher HaChayim. He wrote also on a book on Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. So in his Sefer, he points out that really, strictly speaking, you have to actually see the ground of where the Beis HaMikdash was in order to rip Kriya. And you know, most, if you go to the coast, you're not going to be able to. So we quote, some have a, very few, but some have a minug, I think Rev Sternbuch and others, some people go up on the apartment buildings near the Kotel, so they actually go down and see down the ground, and they rip Kriya from there. But with the minug Yisrael is not to do that, or it's just to rely on seeing the Kotel, and that's because when you see the Dome and the Rock up there, what greater Churban, you know the Beis HaMikdash isn't up, and that signifies we're in, you know, a time of a korbano, so they do that. Some say as well, once, because there's a machlokas, whether you should rip Kriya on Yushalayim today, whether it's considered b'chorbano or not, so therefore the minig is not to. So some, when they rip Kriya by the Kotel, they have in mind that this goes on Yushalayim. Perhaps you could say it has in mind on the Ari Yehuda as well. Again, in terms of the Ari Yehuda, under Jewish control, so many say it's not an issue. The issue is, let's say, like Bethlehem today. There are different Ari Yehuda, which are still not under Jewish control. And, you know, it's a discussion, what's considered Jewish control? Is it enough that the Israel army drives through there once a day, once a week, or not? So that is a major. Rev Schachter is of the opinion that one should still rip Kriya today on Bethlehem. If you go into a palace, if it's Jewish control, so then he says, that's the Ari Yehuda. He thought like the, he quotes different achronim, that's the political capital, or under Jewish, as long as under Jewish control, you wouldn't have to do Kriya. But the places in Ari Yehuda, which are still under Palestinian control, he felt that you still should rip Kriya. Others disagreed and said it's illogical. They thought, we're not ripping Kriya on Yushalayim, so how could we to be ripping Kriya on Bethlehem? So that's a major discussion, even Bizman HaZeh, but that was a direct halachic issue. When we took back Yerushalayim in 1967, besides the great gift we got and all the benefits that we're still accruing today, but a major halakha question arose at that time regarding what's the definition of Yerushalayim b'chorbano. It's obviously a good thing that it's under Jewish control, but whether it's still b'chorbano, that depends on what b'chorbano means. If Yerushalayim is an extension of the Makam HaMikdash, then we're clearly b'chorbano. If Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, so then we have it back, so that would no longer be b'chorbano. So since it's a major discussion among the current poskim, the minhag is not to do it, because halacha kedivrei HaMeikel b'avelos, and some have in mind, when they rip Kriya by the Kotel, they have in mind to go on Yerushalayim, and why not throw in Ari Yehuda while you're at it. So regarding the Kedushas HaMikdash, one of the questions is, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, which everyone is in agreement with, we don't have one now, what about the status of the Temple Mount? In other words, what about the Kedushas HaMakom? Does the Kedusha remain? There's a discussion regarding Eretz Yisrael as well, that when Ezra was a Makadish it, and then it had its Kedusha, when they left, we lost it. That's a separate discussion about agricultural halachas. That's a different discussion by the Kedushas HaMikdash. In fact, the Rambam and the Bali Tosis make that distinction, that they say, Bizman HaZeh, we no longer have the Kedusha, the agricultural, in terms of the Rambam's opinion is, Truma, Ma'isa, Shemitah, they're all Durabanan today, because we don't have Bias Kucham. We don't have the majority of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Rambam writes, Bizman Bayesheni, when the second temple was standing, Truma was only Durabanan, because you didn't have, Ezra couldn't find anyone. He had to run back and try to drag everyone to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know, we're getting closer today, but we're still not there yet with Bias Kulchem. However, regarding Kedushas HaMikdash, the Rambam writes, applies today. So the question is, why the distinction? When it comes to Kedushas, Eretz Yisrael, Mitzvot HaTuliyos Baaretz, the Rambam writes, it no longer has the sanctity it used to have. But by Kedushas HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, even though it's destroyed, the Rambam writes, the Kedusha remains. That seems to be Tosis' opinion. Tosis has a whole long Tosis giving different sources why. But the Rambam gives us Svara. The Rambam tells us, tries to give a logical reason. The Rambam writes, you know why? Why do we have Kedushas HaMikdash even today? Because you can knock down the walls. Aval Hashchina Eino Bato. It's not the walls that give it the holiness. It's the divine presence that dwells there. And therefore, even though we don't have the walls, God, so to speak, is homeless now, but he's still living there. The divine presence is still there, and the Kedusha remains. And that's why we'll get, that will be a major nafkamina, whether you could go on, if it has the Kedusha, whether you could walk on top of the Temple Mount today. We'll get to in a second. But the Rambam's opinion is Kedusha remains forever because Hashchina Eino Bato. You can't get rid of the divine presence. And the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He says, Svaras Atzma, what are you talking about, Rambam? Where do you get this distinction between Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas? The Ravid says there is a distinction, but in the opposite direction. The Ravid says the agricultural laws, that applies even Bizman HaZeh. That remains forever. But the Kedushas HaMikdash, that's only, that doesn't apply. Why? So it's a different text in the Ravid. At one point, the one we have, it says, because v'nigla li, it was revealed to me. In other words, if you knew the Ravid, he was a big makubal. He was very into Kabbalah. So he seems to be saying, I got a Ruach HaKodesh on this one, and I was from Shlomo HaMelech or whoever, that there's no longer Kedusha anymore in the Makom HaMikdash. But if you see other Gerses, it's probably not v'li nira. It's the Benigla Lo. In other words, he's talking about Ezra, not himself. That when Ezra built the second temple, he already had a Masorah from Shlomo HaMelech that he knew that there was going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. So when he built the second temple, it was only going to be temporary. So therefore, it was built into the Kedusha of the second temple, since it was going to be destroyed anyway. So he never endowed it with the full Kedusha that will last forever. That's a major machlokas to Rambam and Ravid, whether there's Kedushas HaMikdash today or not. In other words, the major practice of, could I go on the Temple Mount? They must have tours up there. Could I go on top where the temple was? There's certain spots on there where, in theory, everyone's in agreement. Number one is, we're all Tamei Mace today. We come in contact with the dead. We don't have the Para Aduma. So there's certain spots we can't go no matter what. But there's certain spots, if you go to the mikveh beforehand, they're very areas where in theory one could go, but in practice the minig is not to go. The Meiri writes during his time, the minig was to follow the Ravid, and people used to walk on top. But that's not that doesn't seem to be our minig. The Magen Avraham, the Mishmar, all the poskim say today we go like the Rambam, that there's Kedushas HaMikdash, and therefore one would not be permitted to go on top of the Temple Mount. And you go with the Ravid. I like that. And then they point out that's why the Rambam's opinion is that there's halacha that you have to, when you bring karbanos, it has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. But that's there's an issue to bring what they call a bama, bringing a karban in your backyard, so to speak. But that prohibition of bringing a bama only applies if you could bring a karban in the Beis HaMikdash. But if you can't bring a karban in the Beis HaMikdash, then you're allowed to bring a bama. So the Rambam writes, Bisman HaZeh, it's usher to bring a bama. It's usher tshrut echush. You can't bring a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, why not? It's destroyed. Because we see the Rambam consistent with his view that the Kedusha remains. In fact, as we discussed in other times, that the Rambam's sheet is, in theory, one can bring a Karban today. There are only technical reasons stopping us, that we're Tamei Meis, we don't have the big day Kahuna, because really you don't need a Beis HaMikdash to bring a Karban. That the Gemara, the Braisa tells us, Makrivim Afal Pishein Lo Bayis. As long as you know where the Makam HaMizbeach is, you could bring it. Of course, that's, do we know where the Makam HaMizbeach is? Could you figure out from certain walls? That's a whole major discussion. Yeah, so therefore it's a major discussion. So therefore, we don't do it for many technical reasons, but according to the Rambam, the Kedusha remains, and you could, and therefore it's us, he quotes the Isser Kares of Shchut Dechutz. In theory, the Raivid would say it's okay, even though it's not so simple. He says it's okay. But so it's a major machokas, Rambam and Raivid, what is Kedusha, but let me point out, are you telling me the Raivid views the Makam HaMikdash as a nothing today? That can't be. So you mean there's no, so even though he disagrees with the Rambam, if you look at the Raivid closely, he never says it's permitted. He says HaNichnas Ata, if you enter the Temple Mount today, you're not Chayev Kares. Somebody asked me, can I do this on Shabbos? I say, no, you're not Chayev Skila, but it's not okay. There's a big difference between not being Chayev Skila and being permitted. The Raivid just says, HaNichnas Ata, if you enter the Temple Mount now, you're not Chayev Kares. It's a far cry from saying, because in many other halakhas of a Tamei walking up, the Raivid doesn't argue with the Rambam. So the Achronim point out, Rav Kook, among others, point out, and even the Raivid has to agree that there's something special about the Makam HaMikdash. So they point out there are two different types of Kedushas in the Beis HaMikdash. There's the Kedusha from David, that's what they call the Kedushas HaRitzpah, the actual ground. That's what some people are mocked, but to actually see the ground, they say it's a Rip Kriya, you have to actually see the ground of the Makam HaMikdash. And then there was Shlomo HaMelech who actually built it, the wall. So based on different psukim, they point out the Chiyuv Kares is only dependent on Shlomo, on Shlomo's Kedusha, and therefore that there's no Beis HaMikdash today, so that's the Raivid's opinion, that there's no Chiyuv Kares. However, the Kedusha of David remains intact, and that's a Kedusha Darais, that's an inherent Kedusha. It's hard to say that Eretz Yisrael has an inherent Kedusha, even though technically speaking we might not keep Truma, Maisa, Shmita, Mina Torah because of Bias Kulcham, but we agree fundamentally, no matter, even without the mitzvahs of Tuyas Ba'aretz, even before year 15, Eretz Yisrael had an inherent Kedusha. So if you're going to say Eretz Yisrael has an inherent Kedusha, it's hard to say the Makam HaMikdash also doesn't have. So maybe for technical reasons, the Raivid says there's no Chiyuv Kares, but according to the Rambam, there is, and the Kedushas HaMikdash remains, and therefore there's still, one cannot go on the Temple Mount, one has an Isser bringing Karbanas, and the Tami, all the different halakhas of the Makam HaMikdash apply. And if everyone agrees, the Koto had to do that the Makam HaMikdash is we're today, and we have to recreate the Kotel. I said it was a major question in 1967 when we took over Yerushalayim, whether you have to recreate on Yerushalayim. The Rav felt that Yerushalayim's Kedusha is based on extension of the Makam HaMikdash, and he felt Yerushalayim is still considered b'chorbano regarding Kriya, even though the minig is not like the Rav. Most people don't rip Kriya today on Yerushalayim, but the Rav felt that, not just the Rav, other Gedolim as well, felt that Yerushalayim's Kedusha is an extension of Kedusha's HaMikdash, and hence, in theory, one would still have to rip Kriya.
You have to make a distinction where the Makam HaMikdash is and the Harabayit. And those who are selected, yeah, those places that you can go, and you're not actually it's Harabayis is permitted.
Right, I point that different, right, the different people go to the mikveh, different places.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I said the minigas both don't go up at all, but technically speaking, there are places where aren't considered the Makam HaMikdash.
Yeah, that you don't go. That's right. Yeah. Wait.